You know, I always share this, but I had a, when I was starting out with my walk with the Lord, I had an older gentleman that was mentoring me. He had a word for me one day because, you know, I kind of grew up with an air of negativity and was always looking for what was wrong and broken in life. And he said, you don't have dark days, right? Because you have the light. Stop it. And that's what the Lord is saying. Quit your snibbling. Quit your complaining, your belly aching. Fretting over evildoers. Come on. Anybody have been dealing with that one? Oh, my word. How many know that Jesus is Lord? He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Hallelujah. And there will be righteousness. And the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen. As the waters cover the sea, Jesus is coming to rule. Hallelujah. And so we say, even so, come, Lord. Hallelujah. While we're here, God has given us an assignment. We're to light up the night. We're to be salt and light for Him. We do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we drink. Amen. Have another drink. Get filled. Amen. You don't need the inferior stuff of the world. All right. You don't need the counterfeits. Jesus, if you want to get high, go to the Most High. Amen. He'll lift you up. Amen. Without regrets. And no regrets the next morning either. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. He came to set the captives free. I was a captive that's been set free. Amen. I'm no longer bound by sin. But Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. Did you know that He came to break the power of sin? Yes. Amen. If you're a believer, if you have Christ in you, the power of sin is broken in your life. Your responsibility is to enforce what God has already accomplished by faith in what He's promised you. His word will not fail you. His promises are true. His grace is more than enough, sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, thank You for today. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness that You lavish upon us, Lord. We know it's Your grace, Father. We don't deserve You. We don't deserve what You do even, Lord. But because of Your great mercy, we are who we are today. And we receive from You today. Father, we want to be the kind of people that bring You glory and bring You honor. Lord, that we walk with You. That we bring pleasure to You, Father. You deserve the glory, Lord. You deserve the praise. And that we would give our lives back to You, Lord, out of gratitude for all that You've done for us. So, Lord, we give You our lives. We say, here, Lord, is my heart, and here is my soul. Dear Lord Jesus, take control. Have Your way in me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Glory to God. Ooh. He is risen. He is alive. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read to you something. It's from Luke chapter 19, verse 29. This is the Sunday before Passover. And most likely in the spring of 29 AD, been a few years ago. And it came to pass when He drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that He sent two of His disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as He had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In John's account in John 12:13, it says they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. Now the palm tree was a symbol of joy and of victory. And this was a great time of celebration as they welcomed the one whom they believed would save them from Roman tyranny and enslavement. So they were waiting for the Messiah to return to deliver them from the oppressors that they were living under. And so when Jesus came, they shouted as he walked, as he rode, right, on the colt. And threw these palm leaves along his route and said, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so this Hosanna means to save, or please save us. So they are saying, Lord, please save us. Well, that was exactly why Jesus came, isn't it? He came to save us. Yet the people were thinking in terms of national deliverance. But Jesus came to save them from a worse problem. Now, we have our problems in America today. Would you agree? And we are praying and believing for a turnaround in this nation. But the greatest priority of God is to save the soul, amen, of people. And he came to deliver them from a greater problem, and that was their sin. And you know, we've all talked about the American dream and heard about the American dream, and people are coming here because they heard about the American dream. And sometimes this pursuit of the American dream has diverted people away from a relationship with God. I'm not opposed to prosperity, neither is God, but God does not want our prosperity to become our God. And that's what's happened in America, is we've become so prospered and blessed that we've come to this place where somehow we feel like we don't really need God now because I got everything I need. I've got money in the bank. I've got clothing. I've got a place to live, whatever. You know, we can look for reasons why we believe that we may not need the Lord. Maybe not as much as we used to. Isn't it interesting how we often come to God in a place of desperation? You know, and say, God, help me, and God helps us. And then shortly after, we forget God because we got what we wanted now. And next thing we know, we find ourselves in desperation again. How many know it's much easier just to stay walking with Jesus, amen? And hold on to him closely, amen? Walk with him closely. You know, people are wanting, you know, to give their children what they didn't have. You know, and it's good to, we should provide for our children, amen, and make sure that they have, you know, everything they need according to our abilities. But, you know, you can give the children everything that you didn't have, and yet they could lose their soul. What's more important? We want to make sure our children know Jesus, amen. It's better to be poor and have your children, amen, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, than to have everything this world could offer you and your children going to hell. You can gain everything this world has to offer. Yet if you lose your soul, all is lost. You can't take it with you. There are no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. But God takes care of us. He provides for us. He gives us the ability to think and to work. Amen. To get an education. He gives us the grace to work, and work is a good thing. But we should never forget the one who has given it to us in the first place. Who is the one that gave us the ability? Who is the one that gave us the intelligence that we may have? I said may, speaking of myself. But whatever I do have, I understand the source of that. It was the Lord. Whatever giftings I have, the source of that was the Lord. Amen. And so you can gain everything this world has to offer you. But if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. And you and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. And I want to be spending my eternity with Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think about some of our leaders that are so covetous and so greedy and just wanting more and more and more money, as if somehow the money is going to satisfy them. And yet it seems like the more that they get, the more that they want, and they're never satisfied. Why? Because it will never satisfy the deepest longing of our heart. Only the Lord can do that. You know, if you don't learn contentment in little, you're not going to have contentment in much. We need to be content in the Lord and where He's placed us and what He's allowed us to have. And remember, whatever we have received, it came from Him. Amen. We didn't give it to ourselves. So we receive a stewardship of what He invests in us. We have to be faithful in what He gives us. But people didn't realize that Jesus was going to be crucified. They were thinking that Jesus was coming to rescue them from Roman tyranny. They didn't realize that Jesus would be crucified and rise again on the third day in order to deal with the sin problem. But remember, in Luke 9:22, Jesus had previously told His followers, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." So the Lord had already told them that. How many times do we hear someone talking to us and sometimes glaze over or tune out or not really listening to what they're saying to us? Or sometimes we're looking at something else, or we're waiting for them to finish so we can say something. And sometimes when God doesn't do things the way we expect, we tend to get discouraged. Has anybody ever felt discouraged because you thought God was going to do things a certain way for you? Because you were being really good and doing the right things, and because of that, I deserve this answered prayer. And God does not always do things the way we expect Him to. And so the potential to get angry at God, or even in some cases people get bitter at God because God didn't do things the way they expected Him to. But God's plan, God's ways are perfect. God sees the end from the beginning. Amen? He knows what's up ahead. He knows what's good for us. Everything Jesus did was in agreement with what had been written about Him in the Scriptures. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." So what happened is they were perplexed because they thought their deliverance had come. Jesus was going to establish His rule, amen, and deliver them from Roman tyranny. And instead, the next thing they know is that He's being led off to be crucified. How disappointing. Their hopes had been dashed. They were expecting a reigning king. Instead, they saw a suffering servant. Do you see that Jesus in the Old Testament is represented as both a suffering servant and reigning king? The first time He came to this world was as a suffering servant to pay for the sins of the world, amen, to die on the cross for us. The next time Jesus returns is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will not be spat upon them, amen? They will not pull His beard out. They will not crucify Him. As a matter of fact, every knee is going to bow to Him and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Hallelujah. And it wasn't until after Jesus rose that the disciples remembered his words. All they could see was the death of Jesus. And yet in John 12:16, it says his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. How many have ever gone away from a conversation only to rehash it in your mind and come to a conclusion of that? You know what? I should have said this, or I should have thought this, but you didn't until afterwards. Then you learn. How many know sometimes we learn after the fact? I hate it when that happens. But within days, these shouts of Hosanna would be shouts of crucify him. How the crowd had completely just switched, shifted. But it was for this reason that Jesus came to become our sacrifice. And as Jesus would later reveal to his disappointed and discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus, as he walked with them along the road, they said to him in Luke 24, in verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he, Jesus, who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, they were listening, but they weren't listening. They weren't hearing. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So Jesus was incognito. Jesus was walking with them, thought he might have been the gardener along the road. They're having this conversation with this guy, you know. And they're just basically pouring their heart out to him, how disappointed they were. And then Jesus interjects in verse 25 again, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So the purpose of the Lord's first coming, now hear this, please, was not to judge the world or to rule the world, but to save the lost. The first reason, the first coming, right, was not to judge the world or rule the world, but to save the lost. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Verse 47, anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, Jesus did not sit in judgment here at this time on those who refused to hear his words or believe on him. Why? Because that was not the reason why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But this does not mean that he will not condemn unbelievers in the coming day. Because we look at verse 48. He said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words. Do you receive his words when you hear his word? Do you receive it, or do you pick and choose what you're going to receive? Has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So here the Lord is pointing forward to a coming day when those who reject his words will stand before the judgment bar of God. And at that time, the word of the Lord will be sufficient to condemn them. In John 12:49, he says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak. The things Jesus taught were not things he made up in himself, or what he learned from men, or even the religious leaders of his day. He was the Word that became flesh. He was in the beginning with the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ was God the Word who took on human form, became a man. Amen. Dwelt among us. God himself became our sacrifice. God the Word. Because the only way to redeem us from Adam's race was to become like Adam. Become like us. Because Adam had sinned. Jesus, amen, the second Adam, came to redeem. Hallelujah. In the areas where Adam had failed, Jesus overcame. And therefore, he qualified to become our sinless offering. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. Amen. Slain for us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, again, I have not spoken on my own authority. He didn't just speak what came to his mind, but he was being led of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the Father was speaking to him by the Spirit, he would speak that word. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:3. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, how many believe we're living in the last days? Scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. And then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. Not the redeemed, not those who believe in Jesus, amen, but those who reject Christ. But you must not. Who's he talking to now? He's talking to us. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Because they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues as it always has. The scoffers are out there, aren't they? The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. That's his heart, to redeem, amen? But wants everyone to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your sin. Turn away, amen, from that, and turn to him who can save you, who alone has the power to forgive. That means God can cancel the debt of sin, amen, in your life. It doesn't matter how badly you've blown it, how many times you've sinned, God wants you to be forgiven. He wants to wipe that thing away and never hold it against you again. But you must repent. You must come to him and you must confess that to him. You must, amen, be honest with God. If you are honest with God, he already knows it. He already sees it. But it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to confess my sins to God. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Cancel the debt. And to cleanse us, wash us, amen, from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Are there any new creations in here this morning? Hallelujah. Your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Are you in right standing with God today? Amen. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know the Lord wants you to know that you have eternal life? He wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. If you'll be honest with him, if you'll humble yourself, take responsibility for your actions, confess it to God, he is faithful and just to forgive you. You see, God made it so simple, even a child can understand it. But after his resurrection, after he rose again, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he came and spoke this to his followers. And by the way, this commission is still in effect today. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh yes, politicians, guess what? You don't have all authority. Any authority you have, either you usurped or it was delegated. But Jesus Christ is Lord and has all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What? Teaching them to observe all things. Somebody say all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but He's patient. He's giving people an opportunity today, while it is still today, to be saved. If you will listen and obey His voice, if you can still hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not resist the voice of the Lord. Because there comes a day, amen, when the Lord says time is up. There comes a day when we all take our last breath. What then? Where will you spend eternity? What does it profit you if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? And what can you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing. Jesus died for you. He paid your price on the cross. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to give your life to Him so He can do something beautiful with the mess. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He can make something beautiful out of a mess. Praise God. I'm one. And He wants you to trust Him. He said, those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Him, He won't reject you. You may say, well, I'm too bad. I'm too sinful. No. Jesus died for those sins. Amen. For the sins of the world. You just come to Him. And you give your life to Jesus. Trust Him with your soul. And He's able to keep that which you've committed to Him. Against the day of judgment. Amen. The day is coming. He's going to judge the rule. To judge the world. That's right. And He has given us this assurance, and that He has risen Him from the dead. Jesus is alive. And He is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And He has now delegated that authority to you and I in Christ, the church, to go and carry His message, the message of the gospel, into all the world. Amen. And to make disciples, teaching them to observe everything I taught you. Well, Jesus taught His disciples, amen, to proclaim the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Amen. Teach them to observe everything I taught you. Amen. We have confidence in the day of judgment because as Jesus was in this world, so are we, because we are walking with Him. We are living for Him, amen? And in that day, we will have confidence. How many are looking forward to the day when you see Jesus? You need to have that assurance, amen? You need to make sure that your heart is right with God, and today is your opportunity. Today is a day of salvation. Would you bow your heads? God wants you to be saved. But He won't save that which you're unwilling to give to Him. Are you willing to give Him your life? Are you willing to come clean with God today? Are you willing to make your confession to Him today, the only one who can forgive you of your sins? Would you take a moment right now and ask the Lord to do just that? Confess those things. Has the Lord been revealing to you something, even as I've been speaking this morning? He's pointing out something in your life that He's telling you, you need to get rid of that. You need to do away with that. You need to turn away from that. Has God been speaking to your heart this morning? The Bible says, be careful that you do not refuse Him who speaks from heaven. Today is the opportunity for you to get that thing settled right now. Are you willing to obey the voice of God and to turn away from that sin and give Him your life? Make your confession before the Lord right now. You can do it right where you're sitting. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Remember, it was Jesus who went to the cross and paid the price for your sins. Confess your sins to Jesus. And ask the Lord to forgive you. And then ask the Lord to come into your heart and be your Savior, be your Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you need to do one more thing. You need to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to lead us all in a prayer. I don't know where everybody's at this morning. That's between you and the Lord. But I want to lead us all in a prayer of dedication, even maybe to rededicate your life, recommit your life to the Lord today, so that you will live the rest of your life for Him. He's calling you. Are you going to listen today? He sets before you two choices. One is the way of death, and the other the way of life. Choose life that you might live. Choose Jesus and His way. Hallelujah. If you want to get in on this, I want to pray, and I want you to pray out loud with me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the only way to salvation. So I ask You, Lord, to please forgive me for all my sins and save my soul. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And lead me from this day forward in the way I should go. Lord, give me the power to overcome myself and to live for You in this world. I ask these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that God raised You from the dead. And with my mouth, I confess, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you tell somebody, okay? Praise God. Amen.